Blog Talk Radio.
Anyway,
It's really sick, really a sick thing. But anyway, we can thank the mainstream media for not covering any of it, which is, you know, good. But, you know, all good according to the wonderful system that we have. And you got to wonder why cable news nightmare CNN is in audience crisis. CNN has lost over 50% of its audience in the last 6 or 8 months, all right, because they're totally useless. And it says, stories aren't the only thing that high-profile studio anchors at CNN apparently know how to break. Judging by the last TV ratings, they also seem to be uncannily successful at destroying the loyalty of viewers. Figures from ratings agency Nielsen show that America's most famous rolling news brand has this experience as worst month for over 20 years, parting company with more than 50% of its audience in 12 months. The development follows years of unrelenting decline for the network, while pioneered 24-hour news in the 1980s, and was for years the top-rated news channel. It has in recent years suffered intense competition from Fox News and MSNBC, which both now outperform it in almost every time slot. The figures also raise questions about the future of Piers Morgan, hired to shake up the primetime, and he drew an average of 417,000 viewers, a fall of 50% in the network's worst figures for the slot since the early 1990s. Morgan's show is largely admired by critics, but his audience is volatile. It seems to vary accordingly to caliber of guests. In early 2011, when he took over the octogenarian Larry King, who boasted 600,000 viewers, Morgan said his show would be judged by how he settled down in between 6 months and a year. So now he's fallen to 388,000.
So he's in trouble.
Yeah.
May saw CNN average audience fall to 388,000, of which a mere 113,000 are adults in the 25 to 54 age bracket that advertisers covet. The figures represent an exponential increase in the rate of decline for the channel, which is also undermined by the Internet's rise in popularity as a breaking news source. They also suggest that CNN is losing viewers quicker than rivals. For Fox, comparable figures, 1.65 million and 319,000, are down just under 10% annually. MSNBC, 658,000 and 213,000 is declining by around 20%. It's really a bloodletting. There's no other way to describe it, says Robert Thompson, professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University. The biggest problem is inherent in their brand. They are trying to stick old-fashioned, unbiased news broadcasting when their rivals have worked out that to draw an audience when they aren't major stories breaking, you need to do the opposite. CNN, based in Atlanta, retains an expensive network of overseas bureaus and is still regarded as the nation's most reliable TV news brand. It has resisted the temptation to follow Fox and MSNBC in using partisan anchors. As a result, CNN remains a go-to destination when major breaking news stories unfold.
I don't go there. And, you know, Piers Morgan.
Piers.
Piers. You know, hired in a blaze of publicity almost 18 months ago. Screw that article. Anderson Cooper sucks. Wolf Blisser, I love this one. Bearded bespectacle and a fixture of CNN's lineup for more than 20 years. The ever-reliable Blitzer should be required viewing in an election year. But viewing figures from his 4 to 6 p.m. situation room billed as a raw, unfiltered and live, yeah, the Zionist word of thought. Breaking news program for the just got home from a crowd are down more than half. Good. I hope they blow the son of a bitch out of the
Fame
water.
Fame for his black T-shirts, perfect quaff, and the and the live on-air takedowns of public figures on a slot he calls Keeping Them Honest. Mr. Cooper is a news cable institution, and the unofficial face of CNN. That hasn't stopped him managing to lose a quarter of his viewers in the past 12 months.
Yeah, he sucks.
Erin Burnett, who's that? I don't think that's
she's
smart, entertaining, and ahead of the... And ahead of the news is how CNN describes its 7 p.m. anchor. The public must see things differently, given this respected but perhaps monochrome former financial journalist primetime show draws only 409,000 viewers, of which a woeful 46,000 belong to the 24 to 54 demographic.
Yeah, she's an economic whore for the regime.
Elite.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway,
they think it's because they can't compete with Fox it's because it's terrible.
Because their news is so horrible and their anchors are so terrible.
And they know that it's a joke.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it's
all.
A total joke.
It's not news.
People just know that it's a total.
It's all manipulated, canned stuff.
And I hope that they die out, you know, like the dinosaurs. Now we're going to call Jim Russell, right? Talk about the fluoridation in the water right now and the new...
Hello?
Yeah, hi, is Jim there?
No, you have the wrong number.
I have the wrong number?
Oh,
yeah.
This is Jim Russell's number? Sorry.
No, this has been mine for 10 years.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Well, you gave me the wrong number.
Are you sure? Maybe you called
Let me try it again.
You didn't call the correct number. Did you?
I thought I did. It's not.
Should have asked her what number she was.
Oh, you want to say that over here? 2, 3. 10. Let's see if I got the right number this time.
Now check it. Make sure you got the right one.
That's what he gave me. Calling Jim Russell right now.
Hopefully this is the correct number. Not the girl that you just called.
Hello.
Hi Jim, is this Jim?
Yes sir, how's it going?
Hi Jim, how are you? This is Leo and Lila.
Hi Jim, how are you?
Not bad, thank you.
I hear you're going to talk about fluoride tonight. That's a topic of great interest to you.
Yes, it really is. I mean, once I opened my eyes a couple of years ago to all this bull poo-poo that's been going on around this whole world, I started looking, a little bit local, and I started finding out that this fluoride that I was told that, honestly, when I was a kid, I didn't even really know it was even in the water, honestly.
The water since the early 50s.
Yeah, and promoted as a cavity fighter.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually been doing a lot of research on it. I've been doing, I got a card so I could look up old articles for the Harvard Current and the New York Times. And I'm able to look back in the 50s, 60s, right on the website here on my computer. So it's easy. I don't have to go through their microfilm or nothing like that. And I've been finding out that even back then, the people had big opposition against this. So, I mean, this is something that's been going on for, 60 years now. And the people were petitioning pretty much enormous amounts of petitions going around. There was votes. There was referendums. The city of Waterbury actually had a referendum on a vote. On the election day, I was November 8th, 1955, there was a vote, and I actually FOIA it to the City of Waterbury, which is a Freedom of Information Act request, to obtain them telling me how many votes there was.
Uh-huh.
And I also have the article, and there was a good over 2,000 people said no, over the amount that said, yes. So,
how many people said yes?
I think there was 4,000 something for no. I mean for yes, and 6,000 for no. And
what was the propaganda that they used to convince these poor people?
Honestly, according to all these articles I've been looking at, it was a lot of PTA, a lot of parent teachers associations, were really advocating against this. They really wanted it. All the schools, I'm noticing Thomaston, you name all the different schools, there was all the PTAs were just really bombarding this. They're like, we want fluoride, we want fluoride.
And yeah, that's the dumbing down of America, doesn't it?
Yes, it's a, and they're doing a great job. I mean, they accomplished their goal, honestly.
Yeah.
This country, the people out here, and you tell them there's fluoride in the water, you tell them it's a poison, they go, oh, well, what can you do? You know, it's like, what can you do? And then, you know, some people sit there and go, well, you know, it's moderation. And I'm like, moderation? I kind of use this dirty analogy to them. I go, okay, what do you drink? They're like, oh, I drink, oh, how about a glass of water? Okay, glass of water. I'm going to put, you know, the same amount that they put in, like whatever it might be, parts per million or whatever, of my urine in your drink.
Would you drink?
Oh, no. Then why are we drinking fluoride and all this other crap? But you have no problem drinking that, but you're going to tell me no for my pee? Which
nuclear
is probably
waste. They don't realize it's a nuclear waste product.
Yeah, and it's actually from, you know, the what I understand it being a byproduct of is a lot of different things. One of them is fertilizers. And it's very interesting that I've been doing research, and like I said, we have a couple different agencies that are contracted for through the city of Waterbury that actually do these jobs or supply the material. One of these agencies that actually supplies the actual fluoride makes fertilizers. Hmm.
How convenient, huh?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, I don't want to, mention the names, but, you know, anybody out there can go actually go out and find it. They have, if you guys are citizens of the state, man, you can just go ask your local people, local representatives, you know, what's going on. Who's the fluoridator of our city? You know, what's the supplier, manufacturer? But that's what I'm trying to do now. Like, I'm trying to get a real big campaign against it. And by doing that, we have a petition, a written petition. We actually have an online petition. People could actually go on our website and download the actual written petition and sign up on the online petition if they like to, which is also easily shared through Facebook and all those other kind of social networking things. And if people have websites, there's an embedded code that they can actually put down so they can put that HTML on their website and just have it on there themselves. So you guys can go to our website, wearechangect.org. All that's right there. Please go on there and try to fight this fluoridation of our public water supply that's been going on for over 60 years now. And just like you said, the early 50s, from my understanding, these people have been fluoridating, some cities and towns have been fluoridating since the late 40s.
Yeah, so who are you petitioning, the state or each town, or how is that?
Well, the good thing about fluoride, a good thing about the campaign against fluoride, it's a state law, so which means every city and every in the state can work together, in my eyes, because it's a state legislator law. I've been working with my city representatives. I do have to say that they are meeting me and whatnot, but I do get vibes from them saying, well, what can we can't really do nothing. The great thing is we're not the only people fighting against fluoride. This whole world is actually getting rid of fluoride. I mean, people are just fighting it all over this country right now and the world. But the country, they actually just recently, May 22nd of this year, which was what a week or two ago, an alderman for the city of Milwaukee actually wrote a nice, huge article that how he thinks fluoride is unsafe and just, if anybody is saying it well at this time, he's doing a great job. Anybody can go on the internet and just, like I said, type in Milwaukee Alderman fighting fluoride and you're going to just get tons of great articles about it. And they're actually in court and they're doing really good. Supposedly from the articles, the opposers, you know, people that want fluoride, they really had no argument to the court. And it just comes to show you that even the people that want fluoride have no excuse why we should even be doing this. And it's just disgusting.
Jim, just give me a second. Explain why what the hazards of it are so people understand. Because we understand it, Lyle and I do, because we've been fighting it for years. But please explain what fluoride does to people. Not only
well, we actually
incredibly stupid.
We actually have a flyer. A flyer actually points a couple of those things out. You know, where it's you know, cancer causing. Here's the problem with this when we say it does this, that, and the other thing. The other people, you know, the people that are paid by the state, or sorry, or the corporations that work for the state. It's where, you know, they're all incorporated within each other. You know, they're the ones doing these investigations. And it's like, you know, no third party, no, you know, just Joe Schmo doing a test that the other people would be doing and coming up with the result and using that. And I was finding articles back in the 50s where the news reporters were actually saying anybody that had any evidence or any, you know, negative things to say about fluoridation was pretty much ill-informed, uneducated, not doctors, not dentists, and just calling them the most ignorant names they can actually call them in the articles. So that kind of helped to their campaign too, because you know you don't want to really kind of look like an idiot from people.
Jim, you got to explain. I mean, the Nazis came up with fluoridation to poison the waters for the concentration camps to make the prisoners stupid. And,
yes, exactly.
Came up in the 50s here to do the same thing, and under the guise of fluoridation was good for dental hygiene. As it turns out, it is not good for dental hygiene. It causes brittle teeth, it kills people, and it causes gum disease. All right.
Yes,
it does. You know, and unfortunately, the only way you can find, you know, you have to pay $4 or $5 for a tube of toothpaste of Tom's toothpaste, or to get something that isn't fluoridated. You know, it's just a complete and utter farce.
It is. Again, what I've been finding out about the fluoridation of the public water supply is because they've been doing this for 60, 70 years. It's everywhere. It's in everything that we eat. It's in literally everything we eat. It is in. It is. I just read an article not too long ago where iceberg lettuce, where people think it's the most healthiest thing to eat, which obviously iceberg lettuce is not the best to eat. You're better off eating like romaine or spinach. But the iceberg lettuce, since it retains mostly water, it holds so much fluoride in it, it's not even funny. There's 180 times more fluoride in a head of lettuce than there is in your water, and it's just insane how fluoride is in every part of our life, everything.
Do you have any politicians who are behind this repeal of this fluoride bill?
Honestly, myself, calling my representatives, they are the most, honestly, I hope they're listening, the most ignorant SOBs I've ever met. They do not represent me. They don't represent me. And even in their tone and their response to me is so ill-representative. It's disgusting. So do I want to say, is there anybody? I'm looking. I'm still searching. I'm still talking to some. So I can't say no for everything, but honestly, I'm not looking forward to finding somebody. No. I don't think I'm going to get anybody on my side. They're so dumbed down themselves.
What will you do with this petition then?
Honestly, the petition, what we're trying to do is we don't have a date to send, hey, we're going to go complete it. And like, you know, December 21st, you know, whatever, we're going to pick a date. We're just fighting the fight. And, you know, since this is a 60-year tradition that the state's been doing to us, so I don't want to jump in the gun right away and start staring the bee's nest and, you know, having everybody sting me. So what I'm doing is, you know, building troops and building knowledge, informing people. If it takes 2 years, it takes 2 years. But in the meantime, we're taking a petition. Like I said, when I was looking up these articles back in the day, there was a gentleman that was part of a group that was against fluoridation down in the Westport area. I found out his name, and because it was in the article, and it showed his age. So I looked at the date of the article, and I said he's 25 years old at this date. I figured, no, he's what, 71 years old. So I started researching that name to see if this gentleman was still alive. And I had to do some background checks, but lo and behold, I found a number that worked, and it was a woman picked up, and she was like, hello, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know, hi, is Mr. So-and-so there? And she's like, no, you know, all like cautious. No. I go, is this number tied to that gentleman? She's like, yes. And I asked her some other questions, like, was he part of this group? And she's like, yes. And then I, you know, opened up and told her what was going on, but I'm sure she probably was like flabbergasted that, you know, 50 years later, somebody just found an article and calling her up to find out what happened. I got a hold of both of them, actually, his ex-wife, unfortunately, and him, and I actually got a hold of him. When I called her, I had to go, all my numbers that I had didn't work. I called like 10 different numbers. Finally got a hold of her, and she said, you know, he has a number. Did you call it? I called a number that was close to what she had, and it didn't work. So she said, you know, I'm going to give him a call. And then a couple of minutes later, he called me back.
Excellent. What did he have to say?
Well, he had a petition with over 25,000 people on it.
Wow.
The actual article actually said that also. He turned it in to the U.S. Attorney General, the federal general. Not the state, which was, I was like, wow, that's interesting, because it was the state that kind of wanted to make it a law. And he said it to the U.S. Attorney General. And that was pretty cool for the Attorney General to take it. But then I asked him, you know, did he ever respond to you? He said, no. So I actually just talked to the U.S. Attorney General the other day. I have a FOIA request in for that petition, or the response to that petition. So hopefully they're going to look for it, find it, maybe give me an answer to that petition that he sent in. So, the gentleman said he never got any response. And I said, didn't you ever think about, you know, trying to get the response to you?
But
I guess back, back then it was not as easy as it is now for us to get information.
Right.
Yeah.
But do you understand that, you do understand, but have you been making it known that it is part, that's all part of the Agenda 21 program. It's all part of the population reduction.
It's all, like you said before, with the Nazis. I mean, it's all about, you know, population control. And excuse me?
I said, have you been telling people that? Have you been putting
Like I said, it's in our flyer. Most of it's very, you know, some of it's a little disturbing to hear. But, I mean, people don't want to hear that. But you know what? This is how it is.
It's scientists back after World War II.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I do have a question for you. Do you happen to know if any state or town has successfully repealed the fact that they put fluoridation in the water or gotten rid of that?
Because articles come and go so fast, and, you know, I got so much information in my head. I'm surprised I remember half the stuff I remember. But I do have to say, yes, just last year alone, there was numbers of cities that were actually repealing any of their fluoridation. And,
repeal our, or can you do it city by city here?
You know, I think we have to do it by state because it's a state mandated law.
Uh-huh.
So each city is forced. So we're pretty much forced. That's why I think my alderman said, you know, I really don't think how much I could do. And I'm sitting here going, well, then what the hell are you an alderman for? I mean, why is there this chain of command of authority, but no one could do nothing? So, you know, I asked my state rep, which first, I went to him first.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally said, call your alderman. I can't do nothing. I call my alderman. He goes, oh, you got to call your state rep. I can't do nothing. And I'm almost like, what do you people do?
Yeah.
What the hell do you people do? Well, we already know nothing. They force laws down our throat to drink fluoridation while, you know, everybody that I know is getting cancer and nobody I know has tooth decay. But whatever. I mean, I guess that's the biggest concern in our country. We're worried about our teeth. You know, and that's the thing. You know, why aren't we putting natural minerals in the water, like vitamin D? If we're going to do anything.
You know, what you got to tell them is that, you know, all the studies done in the last 20 years.
Nothing supports it as a positive thing.
There are no positive reports on fluoridation
I actually have a lot of studies with me. When I meet my aldermen, and I am meeting two of them actually this week alone, and I actually have studies from Iran, China. I have journals from the International Journal of Pediatric Dentistry that actually talks that there's one abstract in there that actually admit in their conclusion that they feel that fluoride is a contributor to intellectual development problems in children. And they admit this, that this is happening. The ABA actually has articles where they talk about children should not drink fluoride water, especially when you're using the formula, the bottle stuff, you know, when you should, because, you know, the kid's going to be drinking a lot of water. And, you know, what's going to happen is the child's going to be over-poisoned with this stuff because he's just drinking more and more and more. You know, when you got a newborn, it's like every 2 hours. You know, you just, hey, here, drink some more fluoride. Hey, come on.
Well, here's a great example. About five, six years ago, I was teaching in a school in Sharon, and an elementary school, and this teacher, the nurse comes in with a tray full of
juice, like a swirl. The mouthwash, right?
A tray full of mouthwash.
Yeah.
And she has all these little kids, rinse their mouth out with this. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, you know, kids don't usually get the fluoridated treatment. And I said, great, this stuff kills kids. Why, you know, it kills people. Why would you want to give it to them? You know what I mean? And
that's
like,
because the parent teachers were approving that. And I see a lot of articles back in the 50s and 40s about that. They were so, like, it was a beautiful thing. It was like, oh, my gosh, this is such a great thing to do. These kids don't have tooth decay anymore.
Bullshit. That's bullshit.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? And you know what really, you know what bothers me the most about fluoride? And a lot of times people will tell you, well, you know, especially these scientists and these smart dentists, oh, well, it's... Fluoride's also natural.
Well, if
any smart person, anybody with two brain cells would look this up and find out that, yeah, fluoride is natural, but as a calcium fluoride, not as a sodium fluoride, not as a hydrofluoric acid. Those are both man-made fluorides.
Right.
Calcium fluoride is natural, and it's still not good for you anyways either, but it's at least better than the sodium fluoride, which is a pharmaceutical grade fluoride, which is has less impurities than the hydrofluoric acid, which is just like you said before, where these are byproducts of aluminum industry, nuclear industry, fertilizer industry, and it's the same thing with I don't want to go off topic here, but it's the same thing with the poisoning of the wells from fracking. Forced fracking, Halliburton and all these beautiful companies that, you know, KBR and Dynacorp and all these government contracting companies that just love to poison the American people with their byproducts that they don't want to spend money to dispose from. And that's exactly why they, with fluoride, and like you said, the fluoride has a double thing where they could get rid of their byproduct and they can dumb down the people just like Hitler did. In the concentration camps, and he actually, I think, was administering, according to what I'm looking, he was doing it to the open public.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just for the Jewish people. It wasn't just for the concentration camps, the Jews and the prisoners and the anybody that didn't like Hitler. He was actually giving that to his own people that loved him. It was just, it's disgusting. It's this eugenic system in this world is, I don't understand why the people can't get it.
If people want to get online and they want to sign your petition, how do they do that?
Well, they need to go to wearechangect.org, and on the top right, you'll see it. It'll say petition for fluoride. Just click it, and it'll open up to another web link where it will go right to the petition. There's information on there in case anybody doesn't really understand fluoride. There's some web links on the petition that will help them go to a website that's great for information, which is fluoridealert.org. One of the best websites I have found that has the most centralized information for fluoride. They go on the whole aspect of fluoride with the Hitler thing, with the pineal gland, which not many people understand what the pineal gland is. Please go educate yourself. the cancers, the bone deficiencies, the, like you said before, where it's, it makes your bones brittle. You're actually more able to get brittle bones, and this is where maybe osteoporosis is coming from. Maybe, I don't know. You know, it's a good possibility. Yes, and that's the thing. And here's another thing about fluoride, which is really intriguing, that I don't understand how these doctors, with their Hippocratic Oath, when they administer medicine to people, mm-hmm. how many people out there have ever been asked, do you live in a fluoridated water supply? Are you drinking fluoridated water? Because that is a concern, because people are taking Prozac. Prozac, number one ingredient, is what? Sodium fluoride. What does that mean? So that means when you drink water and you take your Prozac all damn day, you're being poisoned. Tons of poison. And doctors aren't even asking these questions. And my other problem is, what about the other medicines that might be either affected by fluoride? Not saying that you're being poisoned over poisoned with fluoride, but more of a counteracting with each other.
Well, here's something that just came out in the news, yesterday or today? Aspirin. I've known for years that I can't take aspirin because it causes bleeding of the stomach lining. All right. All of a sudden, whoa! You can't have aspirin because every idiot is taking aspirin for their heart, to prevent heart attacks, and yet their stomachs are bleeding and their intestines are bleeding, but they're still taking these low doses of aspirin.
That's why we need to go natural. Everybody needs to go natural. They all need to educate themselves and take vitamins, minerals. And it's not like we don't need to go and ingest ourselves with all these things like all these vitamins all the time. No, it's just, you just need to get the basic minimum stuff. Your body is like a great machine.
The best way to get vitamins and minerals is through the food you eat.
Well, that's another problem.
Vitamin D is out in the sunshine.
About the food, like I said, I don't want to go off topic with the fluoride, but this all like intertwines with each other. Agenda 21, depopulation. Mr. Malloy, our beautiful governor, our eugenics Nazi governor, excuse me, I don't know if people like that word, but you know what? These guys are all Nazis, every one of them. He actually suppressed a law that was trying to be passed. There was a law, 5117, that actually mandated the state and the corporations to label all product if it had GMO products in it.
Right.
He suppresses it. Why? Well, because big pharma, big industry, big, agra, these politicians don't work for us. That's who they work for. They work for Pfizer. They work for Sikorsky. They work for Halliburton. They work for all these biotech industries. Pfizer does not care about healing people. Pfizer creates the aspartame, and then you have to go get the medicine that counteracts all the diseases and problems that aspartame gives you. It's just beautiful. They're making hand over fist.
It's a great business, isn't it? Especially when you control the politicians who make the laws.
Absolutely.
It is beautiful. Hopefully everybody that's listening knows who the Bilderberg is and about the meeting they had last weekend. And this is where they all meet. This is a problem. If people don't see the fact that corporate elites, politicians, heads of media, heads of food industry, and heads of commerce, and heads of banking are all meeting in secrecy at one location. If they don't see this being a conflict of interest and a big, huge issue to the American people and the people of the world, then it's going to be very difficult to tell them fluoride is a bad thing. So, people really need to understand that these people should not be meeting in secrecy. Hey, if they want to meet, great. Let's have some media coverage. Let's have some real media coverage open to anybody. Open it to the public. Let's see what you all got to say. But when they sit there and they say, no, no, no.
We need more transparency, and really, really appreciate what you're doing. I think the petition's a great idea. I think it's great to create a lot of interest, and through interest we'll get change.
Yeah, we will, and that's exactly what We Are Change is all about. It's not, me or anybody. It's not individual. People think that you need to follow people. No, just lead. It's we. We're all in this together, Everybody needs to stand up for what they believe in, no matter if it's fluoride or GMOs or, pharmaceuticals for little infants. You know, why we're giving all these kids Prozac? I mean, there's 5-year-old kids with Prozac. Come on, for real? Prozac? You know, it's whatever you guys want to learn about, just go for it. We need an opposition. We need transparency. We need people there to balance the bullcrap that they're feeding down our throats. So everybody needs to stand up and do what they need to do to make the change they want to see in this world. And that's exactly what we're all about, every one of us.
So
go to WeAreChangeCT.org, sign a petition, go under documents. You can actually download the actual written petition. Pass that out. If anybody ever does do that and you want to get it to me, you could just get a hold of me through the website, jim@wearechangect.org, and we can meet up because I do want the originals because, I mean, I'd like to have the originals so I can hand the originals to the representators so they can really see that, you know, this is legit. And as we know before, you know, this gentleman back in the 50s had 25,000 signing petition and it got nowhere. So, we're, you know, I'm not looking for miracles with the petition, but it's not more of the point. It's the action. It's the action that stands behind it that stands more than those signatures.
People are waking up, and we really
appreciate that you're making this an important issue because it is. It's a great.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. We're all drinking the same water. You know, and anybody that has wells, they need to realize you're not safe. You are not safe. This has been going on for 60 years. I'm pretty sure this fluoridate leaks into every system in the state. Plus, everything you eat is fluoridated. And the people that sit there and that live in municipalities that sit there and say they drink bottled water, guess what, people? Sorry to tell you. Go look at the water quality reports. Every bottle of water is fluoridated. Poland Spring, Hammerhead, Dasani, it's all fluoridated. So you're safe.
Best of luck on this thing, and hopefully people will.
And we'll encourage people to sign your petition. We certainly will.
Yes, you know what I'm also looking for before we go is actual people that want to get involved. If there's anybody that wants to get involved or learn how to, because let me tell you, people, I'm all doing this on the whim, too. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a 9-to-5 guy. I work hard every day. I come home, and I got to worry about the things I elect people to do. So I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm winging half this stuff. I'm just a citizen trying to live this society that, you know, to have my 2-year-old child to grow up in something that, you know, we used to grow up in. But if you want to get involved, I'm looking for anybody. We're also looking for people that are in the dentistry, you know, practice, maybe lawyers that want to help, you know, fight this legally, whatever it may be, scientists, chemists, any knowledge you guys have against this stuff. It's everybody counts. So if you can help, please give me, you know, a holler on the website. Like I said, wearechangect.org. jim@wearechangect.org is my email. And
right.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate it, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Good luck. We support you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Awesome. Have a good night, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that was Jim Russell with We Are Change. And what?
Go back to the switchboard.
What?
You have to hang them up.
I can't.
Oh, why not?
Because it didn't appear on my...
Oh, how weird is that?
Very weird.
Okay.
But anyway, let us look at the... This is one article that I wanted to read. We've only got 10 minutes left, but it's very important.
The bankers...
Banker's new Greek strategy, starve them into compliance.
Oh, lovely.
Now, you know, people are committing suicide right and left in Greece. I mean, everything is going haywire there, but these bastards still want to grind them into the ground. The news from Athens continues to leak over the past few weeks. A 90-year-old mother and her 60-year-old son jumped to their deaths off an apartment building. And a 62-year-old pensioner hung himself off a tree on the outskirts of Nikaia, in Athens. Migrants are being attacked and are desperate to leave the country. Pharmacists are now refusing the government's benefit cards and demanding cash only for life-saving drugs because they fear not being paid in euros by the Greek bureaucracy, as payments are already many months behind in reimbursements. Sadly, soup lines are the longest since the end of the war, World War II, as the middle class has fallen into dire straits of poverty, forcing dumpsters diving by parents and children around the nation. Even all the this, even with all this hardship, the banksters of Brussels and Belgium and Berlin have noted the anger and frustration of the Greek electorate and fear of victory by the anti-austerity forces, but attempting to force the gyro, they're out of
they're out of turnips
to bleed in a field of expertise that the financial industry is unfortunately well known for. The bankers have elected to engage in a new strategy, and it will create a humanitarian crisis unseen on the continent since the siege of Sarajevo and the misery of the Soviet occupation. Starve the Greeks into voting for compliance with austerity.
The lines of credit for many importers in Greece has already been greatly reduced, if not outright terminated, by many European companies due to the crises. One must remember that Greece imports 40% of its total food supply, and with this reduction in credit, that is a major blow to the government and its ability to ensure sufficient food supplies for the people. However, a more dire blow was struck this week when several major insurers declined to cover shipments of goods into Greece in case there is a default on payment. This has had the effect of extinguishing credit available to many Greek importers, and the concerns are obvious. On Friday, June 1st, the news was exacerbated when the Wall Street Journal reported that the insurance company Atradius, one of the three largest credit insurers worldwide, would cease underwriting policies for export credits to Greece.
When taken in combination with the actions by other two insurers, the largest being Hermes, along with Kofes, and the stunning headlines and the story from the Greek newspapers, Prototema begins to make sense. And these people are.
So they're not getting enough food. There's probably no food on their grocery in their grocery store shelves.
Everything.
The news from Athens continues to bleak over the past.
Wait, I already read that.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
where's our second page?
Danger of goods being out of stock in Greece.
This excerpt from the article, just jumped. Sorry, folks, we had a jump on this. You know how that does that sometimes.
I don't know why.
This excerpt from the article tells the tale of woe about to hit the Hellenic Republic. The danger of goods missing from supermarket shelves is now a reality, especially after the informal embargo that big insurance houses of primary goods have imposed on Greece. The beginning was marked by Euler Hermes, the biggest insurance house for primary goods in the world, which will not cover imports to our country. It is an act that reminds us of rats evacuating the ship before it sinks, since the company has French interests and links with the German company Allianz. At the same time, rumors say that Allianz, as an insurance company, will try to get out since our country is now considered a lost cause. There will be more products out of stock since the Austrian company OEKV Versicherung has announced that they won't be covering exports from Greece, while Kofes SA announced that they will only do business with healthy Greek companies. The bottom line is that only those Greek importers with extraordinarily strong balance sheets or with cash on hand to make purchases will be covered by some of Europe's largest credit default insurers. To make matters worse, if the Greek people decide to support the so-called fringe parties and elect pro-sovereignty, pro-growth, pro-policies over further submission to misery under the Troika's iron boot, then the ability of the nation to feed all the nation's citizens is thrown into doubt. With the threat famine overhanging the up-and-coming vote, do not be shocked if those parties which are trailing in the current polls make extravagant, hollow promises about bread and jobs for all but while staying within the Eurozone structure.
This new tactic, which from a business sense is logical, will further restrict credit to a nation which is essentially bankrupt into submitting to the will of the bankers or face starvation. By imposing a credit rationing program on imports to Greece, the agony of the middle and lower classes will continue to expand and thus the inherent instability of the nation as a whole. Many might view the insurers as acting outside of his reach of the financiers of Brussels and Berlin, But the world does not function in such a vacuum, and that belief is naive at best. Overdosed with hopium,
hopium,
I like that, and delusion at worst, the stories about further financial restrictions being placed on the importation of goods into Greece is nothing more than using food as a weapon to starve the Greek voting population into submission to guarantee the bankers get their money back.
Well, interesting enough, the last thing out of Pandora's box in the Greek myth
was hope. And
unfortunately, the ill she threw to the world.
And unfortunately for the short-sighted and historically ignorant bankers, this too shall fail. As every time they have tried to impose their will on nations who are at the end of their rope, it ends in one and only one fatal conclusion: revolution, collapse, and war. And, you know, they did that in Iceland. They did away with their debt. They told the bankers to take a hike.
Pay their own debt.
And they established their own bank, and they're doing fine. And the bankers aren't getting paid, and they don't give a damn. All right? But the Icelanders are happy, healthy, and wealthy again. So we can
A new constitution.
Yeah,
actually, they're the oldest.
That outlaws banks.
That outlaws banks.
It outlaws banks, so it's like we have to do the same thing here, folks. Outlaw banks.
They have a people's bank. That's the oldest democracy.
It's the oldest democracy, right?
Do you know that what I found really interesting in the article that I read, I thought it was wonderful. People could volunteer to write that constitution from all walks of life.
Yeah,
Teachers, farmers, postal employees. If you had an interest in contributing to writing the constitution, and it was done online.
Yeah, there were over 300 or 400 people that actually
wrote that.
Yeah, it was really fascinating.
I thought it was a great exercise in new democracy.
Here's the thing. We've got about 3 minutes left, but London 2012 Olympics security operation is investigating 500,000 people. Backgrounds of up to 500,000 people are being scrutinized in an unprecedented security screening designed to stop the Olympic Games being disrupted by criminals or terrorists, The Guardian has learned.
Yeah.
And what is understood to be the biggest vetting process since the Second World War, the Home Office has so far refused about 100 applications from Games accreditation, mostly because of concerns about the extent of people's criminal records. However, some people have been denied accreditation on the advice of MI5, which has to assess whether a person might pose a significant threat to national security. The 500,000 figure includes anyone seeking employment at the Games, as well as athletes, coaches, and officials from more than 200 competing nations. Can you imagine the insanity of that? That's just insanity.
I just wanted to pose something to you. This is a country that's under severe austerity measures.
England.
They just had this Queen's Jubilee.
Cost $275 million.
Who paid for that?
The public. The Queen didn't. Now, here's the one more article about the austerity Jubilee. Unemployed workers tricked into being Jubilee stewards, denied toilets, left the camp in the rain. Long-term unemployed workers say they were a bust to London to act as stewards for the Queen's Jubilee, told they would be paid for the work and cared for while in town. When they arrived, they were told they wouldn't get paid. This was work experience, not a job, and were made to strip down and change into uniforms in public, pitch tents in the rain, sleep under a bridge, and left without toilet facilities for 24 hours. They were told that if they didn't accept this training, they wouldn't be considered for work during the Olympics.
Nice.
Who the hell cares? Yeah, you know, imagine what kind of work that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And the close protection UK confirmation that it was using up to 30 unpaid staff and 50 apprentices who were paid £2.80 an hour for the 3 days event in London. A spokesman said the unpaid work was a trial for paid roles at the Olympics, which it had also won a contract to staff. Unpaid staff were expected to work 2 days out of the 3 day holiday. A 30-year-old steward told The Guardian that the conditions under the bridge were cold, wet, and we were told to get our head down to sleep. he said that it was impossible to pitch a tent because of the concrete floor. And women said they were woken by 5:30 a.m. and supplied with boots, combat trousers, and polo shirts.
Nice.
And they had been told the ladies were getting ready in a minibus around the corner, and I went to the minibus, and they had failed to open it, so it was locked. I waited around to find someone to unlock it. And the whole thing sounds like a nightmare in hell.
But anyway, we've come right to the end of our show. It's 9 o'clock. Thank you for listening. I hope you will go to wearechange.org and sign there.
CT.org,
Connecticut, and sign that petition against fluoride. It really hurts your health, folks.
And check out other sites for fluoride. Just Google up fluoride, effects of fluoride. You'll be amazed. So good night, everybody.
Tune in tomorrow. Listen to Leo.
Yeah, tomorrow night.